And when you think about that, I want to talk a little bit. I want to be on how his timing is right in history with our Lord Jesus Christ, and that God's timing is right for us as well. You know, in your Bibles, in Galatians chapter 4, there's a very interesting verse. Chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, that he might receive the full rights of sonship." And, you know, it's an amazing thing, as I think of the way God works. You know, I look at my own life, and I realize that over the period of time, I really believe God has prepared me for such a time as this. You know, as time has gone on, it's something that's difficult to see, but yet through some of the hard knocks, the difficulties, the stretching that I've experienced in my own life, I can see God's hand at work. But you know, God's hand has been at work in history all through the ages. That's what's so remarkable. As we look at Scripture, we realize that this world we live in, there's a definite problem. Problem is sin. Problem is broken relationship with God. The question is, how can a holy God bring sinful people back into a right relationship with himself? God had a plan. And we read about this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and God made a promise. He said, you know, there will be enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and someone called he, will come and bruise your head, and you will hurt his heel, it says. And what we're seeing is that God had a plan to bring his avenue of redemption into the world. The question is, how is it made possible? Well, as you look at this scripture passage, I just want to point out a couple things here. In the scripture passage, it says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son." And I think we have to recognize that our world was mysteriously prepared by God for a very important time in history. Now, when you stop and think about it, we're going to be celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ in just a few days, and you realize that here is someone who comes on the scene of history. But had he just come, had he just appeared and was born and later on died on a cross, what significance would that death be? What significance would that birth be, other than he was a great teacher, he was a wonderful individual, and then died a tragic death? No, what we realize is that the world was mysteriously prepared for his coming. And in that preparation, God prepared his people in history. God prepared a people in history. Question is, how in the world is this Savior going to come into the world and to be received by this world? Well, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God reminds Abraham, and he says, I called you, prepared you to be a people, that through you and your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. The whole purpose of Christ, the whole purpose of the Jewish people was that the Messiah was going to come through a particular people. That's why the Jewish people, they are the called, they're God's chosen people. Why are they chosen? For what reason? Through them would come the Messiah. So God prepared a people. Amazing. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes about that later on in Romans chapter 9. He says, through them came the covenants and the laws, and through them came all the commandments and so forth. How would we understand what sacrifices are all about? How would we understand that there is a separation between a holy God and sinful people if it was not for the nation of Israel? They had the tabernacle, the temple, and there was a barrier between a holy God and sinful people. It's because of their history we understand something about God's plan of redemption. So not only did God prepare a people in history, you also find out that God provided a period in history. In the fullness of time. Now think about this. Jesus didn't just come at any time in history. He was born at a specific time. What other person do you know of in history for whom a world was waiting? What makes Jesus so unusual? Think about this now. What makes him so unusual is that not only a people were waiting specifically for such an individual to come, and he had a whole shopping list of criteria that he had to fulfill and meet, but also a world was prepared for his coming. When you think about a world being prepared, you know, there was a lot of moral unrest and just a decay in the Roman Empire. So there was a people that wanted something. The Jewish people themselves were at a point where the legalism was so strict and everything that something was lacking, you know, in their own experience. We also know that Rome at this time provided Roman unity. There was peace. And this was important as the gospel of Jesus Christ could go out throughout the whole world. There were Roman roads that were made available where the avenue could of travel of that gospel could go throughout the regions of the world. A world was prepared at this specific time, the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. The timing was just right. And not only that, we also realize that his birth was miraculously planned. Because as this verse continues in Galatians chapter 4, it says, but when the time was fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. In other words, the birth of Jesus was miraculously planned because God sent his son. Now notice something here. The one who came to be our Redeemer had to be God in order to have the power of a Savior, and he had to be man to have the position of a substitute. You see, the Son of God was born of a woman. Well, you say, well, what's so significant about that? Well, the fact that the Son of God came into the world through a virgin birth through Mary. Now, again, this was miraculously planned. Because you see, it had to be God who came into the world. How could any individual pay the price for mankind's sin? We as human beings, well, we get enough trouble trying to deal with our own lives. In fact, we have to pay for our own sin. So how could I pay for somebody else's sin? That's the problem. So God steps into human history. How does he do this? In a miraculous way. He comes, he is born of a woman. And don't you remember that beautiful story? You know, the angel comes to Mary and she says to Mary, you know, Mary, you are to be chosen among all women. You are blessed because through you is going to come the Messiah. And she says, well, you know, she's at an awe. She can't believe this is going to happen to her. And yet at the same time, the angel assures her that God is going to work a miracle, that she would give birth without a human husband, but through the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon her, and she would give birth to a very unusual person. Fully God, because it took the power of God to deal with sin, and fully man, because man has sinned, man has come short, man has to pay the price. And Jesus Christ is the one who did that for us. But secondly, we find this miraculous plan also in the sense that he was born under the law. You say, well, what's the significance of that? Well, two things. He was compelled to perform God's demands, being under the law. But also, this made him competent to pay man's debt. See? He was compelled under the law to perform all the demands of God's law, but yet because he did, made him competent then to pay man's debt. Born under the law, God's miraculous plan, God's timing, God's requirements, Jesus Christ met them all. It's a marvelous story, you know. It's a marvelous reality, because you realize now that all of life, as you look at it from the scriptural point of view, always is dealt with legal terms. In other words, our relationship with God has to be based on obedience. In the Garden of Eden, Adam rebelled against God. He did not obey God. And as a result, the penalty of death came upon him. nation of Israel, as they were given the law. Again, the basis of the relationship with God was obedience. And the whole point of it is now, here are the people of God, and they also could not obey. That's why they had the sacrifices. That's why there was the tabernacle and the priest and the sacrifices, so that sinful people then could come back into a relationship with God. Jesus Christ came, the Son of God, came under the law and was obedient to God the Father. Without sin, the Bible says to us, did not sin. And because he did not sin, makes him the only one who is qualified then to take our sin upon himself, to be our sacrifice. I share these things with you because I think it's so important to understand this. Because we have a lot of religions around us in our world. A lot of different ideas. But listen, if we're going to have a relationship with God, then you've got to say, you know, somewhere along the line, if there is a God in this universe, he has to have made himself known. We've got to come his way. And his way is Jesus. God took on human flesh, walked on the face of this earth, identifies with us, reveals himself to us in a way that we can understand, and that he takes our sin upon himself. That's the good news of Christmas. But one last thought here. His coming also had a marvelous purpose. Again, as you look at this verse, when the time had fully come, timing was just right. God sent forth his Son. No, deity was born of a woman. Deity came under the law, kept it perfectly. Now here's the purpose, verse 5. To redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. In other words, adoption. The purpose for Christ to come was redemption and adoption. Now let's look at that for just a quick second here, because it says to us that his purpose was to buy man's freedom. That's what redemption is. To redeem is to buy man's freedom. It gives you a picture of the Roman era where there were slave markets. And people were then brought to Rome to these markets, and they were in chains and in bondage. And someone would come along and say, hey, I want that guy over there. And he'd pay a certain amount of money, and that would be the redemption money. And that person then belonged to this new master. And here the Lord Jesus Christ says, we are in bondage. We are under obligation, first of all, to the law. We have to keep God's law perfectly. Not one of us can do that. We all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. So we're in bondage. Jesus pays the price, the redemption price. It's a costly price. And he dies on that cross. His shed blood pays the penalty for my sin. But not only does he redeem us, we just don't become his slaves. You know what the next thing is? We are now adopted. We become part of his family. It's a family affair. He doesn't want us just to be slaves and servants over here. He says, no. He says, now you become an heir. A joint heir. You become part of my family. Now, when I think of that good news, and I think of what we're trying to do as we move to a new campus, that is our purpose, folks. That is our purpose. I look back at this whole thing and I realize, hey, God's timing is just right. The preparation was there. You know, God has taught us many things as we have learned how to minister to a larger group, and God has given us a vision for this community. We come to realize that the church is not just some little clique just for ourselves. This is what happened to the Jewish people. They sort of thought that, well, now, you know, this is our little group over here. No, you are called to bring into the world the Messiah. That was the reason why you're a chosen people. But do you realize we're also a chosen people? We're chosen. And what is our choosing all about? Well, a great verse here is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That's who we are. What's our purpose? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of his darkness into his wonderful light. That's our purpose. And my prayer is that as we look at a new campus and we have an opportunity for reaching even more people for the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm hoping as you walk out here that you will look for that little wheelbarrow there with all those rocks in there, and you're going to be thinking about people that are neighbors, people that are friends, people that are in the community, business acquaintances, schoolmates, whoever they may be. You're going to put their name down on that rock and put it in that bucket, and that's going to become part of that foundation. Because we realize we're here for that purpose. And not just to set people free from bondage, because a lot of people are in bondage. A lot of people are going through tough times. And we want to be able to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just to free them, but to help them become part of God's family. This is a family life center. We want to build strong families, godly families, to be part of the family of God. That's what it's about. But I'm excited about that whole mission and ministry. And I want you to be excited about it as well. And you know something? It's not just for us right now. The Jewish people were chosen to bring Christ into the world. We have now been chosen and called to bring Christ to the world. And it's not just for us, for our generation right now. We're laying a groundwork and a foundation for generations to come. I really mean that, generations to come. And my prayer also, you know, we have some temples in the area. I just think of gambling casinos and a variety of things, you know, that are in the area. And if we're known in Temecula just as a gaming center, I'd say, God help us. We want to be able to say, listen, godly people are here. And we want to be able to establish a launching pad to be able to say to a community and to the world, we're here, God's here. He loves you, and He's got good news for you. God's timing is just right. Today is the day. In Latin, they would say, terra firma excavare. Let us break ground. God has an exciting plan for us to share His good news to our world, to our community. And we invite you to be a part of it. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You. We praise You. What an awesome God You are. All we have to do is to look at history and realize that Your timing is always just right. You have a plan. You work it out. And Lord, we're humbled. We're a part of it. And I thank You for that gracious God. And I just pray that each of us may look at our lives and realize that we have a greater calling than just to make ends meet. We have a greater calling than just to build up our IRAs, and we have a greater calling than just to live comfortably. We have a calling by God to share a gospel, to build in the lives of children through Christian schools and through Bible studies and opportunities. We have a call of God to proclaim the good news every single Sunday, to share that good news and Saturday nights. And Lord, we want to be that launching pad today in this community. Gracious God, thank You for giving us this privilege. And Lord, we pray that we may be faithful to Your call. As You've prepared us, You laid Your plans, and Lord, You've given us a purpose. And for that, we are humbled and we are grateful. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name.